First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. I had the opportunity already this year, I know, to address you, and it is it's always a pleasure. It's a pleasure to do so, surrounding, I guess, my father's yahrzeit. We'll try to give a shiur, and obviously the Divrei Torah should be Le'ilui Nishmas. I'm going to, I guess, focus a little bit more on the Torah content. It could be I'll share a thought or two with my father throughout. But I want to frame things. The topic we're speaking about, I think one would frame it as both timely and timeless. Our kinyan over Eretz Yisrael, the nature of our bailus, of our control over the land of Israel. It is obviously timeless on one level. By that I mean it is relevant at all times. Rashi, we'll speak about this in a second, introduces his Perish al HaTorah. The first insight is about the unquestionable rights that we have to the land of Israel. The fact that it has that location, the first Rashi in all of Chumash. For Rashi, it is the reason why we have all of Sefer Bereishis, is to establish that God who created the world is the Ribono Shel Olam, who decided that he was going to give us Eretz Yisrael. That is so fundamental and it's so important. There is something remarkably chashuv about our bailus, our control over Eretz Yisrael, which is always, always relevant. It's also relevant specifically in our times, and here I mean two different things. Number one, it's relevant because of the time of year that we're in. We are beginning, I guess, right about now, Chodesh Iyar. We're beginning a month that is associated with Yom HaAtzmaut. Please God, next week, Yom Yerushalayim, times in which we celebrate the sacrifices in Yom HaZikaron of those that dedicated themselves, their lives, sacrificed, so that we could have Eretz Yisrael. What an awesome thing to have the land of Israel. It's very, very special. That's all because we have rights to Eretz Yisrael. And as anyone that has followed the news to any extent is aware, there are many that question our right to Eretz Yisrael. There was a letter published today, I believe, from a variety of Columbia students, pro-Israel Columbia students, writing about how, you know, when we were in Europe, in Nazi Germany, we were told that we weren't really German, our real place is not there. And suddenly, when we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're told that our real place is not in Eretz Yisrael, our real place is in, you know, is back in Europe or somewhere else. And we know that this really is our place. Eretz Yisrael is where Jews are meant to be, where we are supposed to be. But it's definitely a relevant topic. The fact that Chazal, in a couple of places, we'll speak about in a minute, identify Eretz Yisrael as something which the other nations are going to attack us about. That first Rashi. The Umos HaOlam are going to tell you, listim atem. You are colonizers. You are people that have taken over the state of Israel. You've stolen it from others. This was anticipated by Chazal already. The Medrash tells us, in Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, that there are three places in Eretz Yisrael where those three places, even the Umos HaOlam, can't tell you it's not ours. Those places are Chevron, Maras, and Machpelah, the Beis HaMikdash area, and the Kurash of Shal Yosef in Shechem, that no one can question. Okay? Apparently, there are those who did question that or do question that. I guess they're not begeder, I guess someone entitled to an opinion. But there are those who would question even things like that, our rights to Eretz Yisrael, even though it's clear in Chumash that it's ours. There's enough archaeological evidence confirming the fact that it's ours. It's a wild thing to call us, you know, out of place in this particular land. But we're being challenged in this land. And what an amazing, it's an amazing thing to always celebrate some of these days, like Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim. It's always special to do so. To do so this year in Eretz Yisrael, when Eretz Yisrael in many ways has more people that are openly questioning things about what it means to be Jewish and what it means in terms of our rights to Eretz Yisrael, what an amazing opportunity. What a really special time to be able to celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut. And I want to speak a little bit about our kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. I want to speak about the nature of our bailus in Eretz Yisrael. I'll do so introducing it with a vort that I am very, very fond of. I am so fond of it. It comes from my father. My father shared it. Now, you want an interesting fact in Turetsky family trivia, which we play sometimes. But in Turetsky family trivia, there are three brothers in our family. There are three of us. You heard my brother, who is immensely talented. You will, I guess, have to hear me. The winner by far is the oldest brother, Avi Turetsky. Unfortunately, I guess he's not around tonight, but you would be in for a treat if you ever get him to be able to come. But all three of us got married on Thanksgiving Day. All three of us. Okay, so there's two. On purpose? I mean, we knew it was happening. I don't know if we, like, But no, we didn't like, I didn't like get engaged to my wife at a time so it would work out for us to get married on Thanksgiving Day. Just sort of, you know, just worked out. But what is interesting is my brother and I think my brother's Ufrav Shabbos was Parshas Chaye Sara, as was 3 years later. I made it 3 years later, I don't think it's true, but mine was also on Parshas Chaye Sara. My father said over a beautiful vort at my brother's Ufrav, and I remember before my Ufrav, I said, Dad, can you please say over the same vort again? It was wonderful, you know, it was great. Can you please say the same idea? It's a really, really beautiful insight. I've shared it with people I have the pleasure to teach often, and it's a really special and powerful insight. So let's introduce it. It's a question that he had. It's a question some of the earlier Mefarshim had also. One finds it in the Shem Yishmuel. One finds it in a couple of different Mefarshim. I want to ask the question. I want to suggest two answers. One of them was my father's answer. The other is going to be an answer based on the comment of the Shem Yishmuel and based on some other ideas that we're going to develop, which I think can frame things in a very, very in a very nice way. I should point out, it's a pleasure that Rabbi Wagner is here also. He is a very old and dear friend. It is great to be able to have him here. Happen to be, if I can say this, I hope it's okay, because once I said this year, and this was my father, I just point out, my father passed away on a Friday morning. The Wagner sent over a very nice spread already. That Friday? No, that... I'm trying to think, when? You did send something over. You did. It was very nice. Was that first day? It was a blur for me. I don't, you know. But it was very, very nice. Wonderful. It's great to speak to Rabbi Wagner also. Here's the question. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Meseches Kiddushin, the Mishnah tells us that there are three ways that one can affect, I believe that's affect with an A, that one can affect a Kiddushin. There are three ways that one could affect a marriage. The way that we do is through Kinyan Kesef. The way that couples get married under a chuppah is that the husband will come with a ring. Already in the times that we showed him, the Sefer Achina speaks it out. Why we get married specifically with a ring. It's a monetary value of the ring. I remember at my own wedding, this was, I think, the most intense moment for me at the wedding, which makes sense. It's when you officially become married. Taking the ring and putting it on my wife's finger. It's a Kinyan Kesef. The Gemara has a question. The Gemara says, who says that that works? It doesn't say that anywhere in Chumash. Chumash just says, ki yikach yishisha, that when a person happens to get married. But how do I know that you can do it through giving money to someone under a chuppah? How do I know that if someone male gives someone female a ring under a chuppah, that makes you married? The Gemara says something which is, I think, a very, very, it's a very well-known answer. The Gemara says, no, we learn it out the following way. It says, kicha, the word kicha, ki yikach ish, to take, is found in the context of marriage. It's also found in the context of Avraham Avinu's kinyan over Hebron, when he bought Maras Machpelah from Ephron. We see that the word kicha there, when it says kicha by Avraham, by Ephron, that's talking about kinyan kesef. That's talking about the money that you give and that you use to acquire a sadeh. So too, we learn the word kicha means to give over money. That must also be the way that you get married. Meaning the way that we know you can marry a girl by giving her a ring, the way that we know I'm married to my wife because I put a ring on her finger under my chuppah, that is the exact same, that's learned from Avraham Avinu's kinyan over Chevron. Ask many of the Mefarshim a very simple question. That is a deeply odd place to learn about kinyanim in a marriage. It's very odd. Let's be like chauvinistic for a second, if that's okay. We're talking about purchasing what at that point in time by Avram? Where are we learning it from? What's he buying?
Land.
A land. Okay. Different than my, I guess, Kenyan one would say, with my wife. What kind of land?
Burial
plots. So we're like, okay, just like when you buy burial plots for your, why is he buying it? For your wife that passed away. So let's also go, and that's how you affect the marriage. It's a very odd kind of a mucker. It's a very odd kind of a source. They are fundamentally different. The kind of ownership, the kind of connection which is established when you purchase a field to bury someone is fundamentally different, of course, than what takes place in a marriage. So why would that be the source? So two approaches to that question. They both get to the core of what our relationship with Eretz Yisrael, at least the Da'ati, is all about. The first answer comes by way of my father. It is a beautiful insight. I imagine others may have said it before, although I don't know, it's an awesome, awesome Torah. There is something about our kinyan over Eretz Yisrael, and perhaps Chevron in particular, which is the exact same thing that one has when it comes to marriage. When a couple sits there and they're under their chuppah, so what we're trying to create at that moment is the feeling that what we're doing right now is something which is permanent. It's something which is long-lasting. That what we are going to be doing is establishing a relationship which is there forever. It's there forever. What better context in all of Chumash to teach us that there's something called a permanent kinyan than Avraham Avinu's kinyan over Ma'aras HaMachpelah? As the Medrash itself even articulates so beautifully, as the Medrash itself says, the fact that Avram bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah means that the non-Jews could never question our ownership over Hebron. They could never question our rights to be able to be there. Oh, they do? So I think Rabbi Yaakovson, the previous Rosh Hashiva in Chalvin, I think Rabbi Yaakovson suggested once, all that does is it shows how absurd some of the arguments are. The fact that many of those three places, Hebron, Shechem, Haravai, the fact that those three places are questioned just shows in many ways how ridiculous the arguments are. You can be part of Israel, it's not in those places. No, we know it's ours. We are aware of that in a very deep and very real way. But you know what unites Avram's acquisition of Hebron and a marriage? A marriage you want to be permanent. It's a relationship which is there forever. So too, where do we learn that from? From the model of a kinyan, which is permanent. It's an interesting thing. Chazal, the Gemaras in Maseches Yevamot, if I can add for a second, speak about a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon in which...
It's great, the water.
It's a phenomenon where sometimes you can have a couple. And that couple, one of them could be the Medina Sayam. One of them could be somewhere lost, or it could be one member of that couple. We're not sure where they are. At that moment, even if they're not in touch, and even if they're not in communication, they're still married. There's still halachic impact to that marriage. Marriage and Eretz Yisrael, they're relationships which exist, and they're there. They're locked in. Klal Yisrael for generations. The Jewish people were not zochet to be in Eretz Yisrael. But you know what our kinyan in Eretz Yisrael is really all about? Our kinyan in Eretz Yisrael is a kinyan which is permanent. And even when we weren't in Israel, wherever we happened to be, there was always a little bit of a connection that we had to Eretz Yisrael. I'll share with you it's one of my favorite stories. I'm not good with stories. None of them last more than like 90 seconds. I would call it more an anecdote if I was being precise. My brother has some wonderful stories, but I'm not comfortable making things up. So I'm going to just focus the story as it's been said over. My brother and I both had a very, very talented Chumash teacher in high school, Rabbi Grummet. Rabbi Grummet was once told over, it's an unbelievable story. You know this about Russia? This is a good story. In the 80s and 90s, so when it was hard to access to get into Russia, so at that point in time, there were some very holy rabbis who would go into Russia. They would smuggle certain things in. They would teach Torah smuggling. I mean like tefillin, siddurim, kumashim, basic texts. So the Jews in Russia didn't have access, would be able to learn, would be able to interact. They really went in and did some amazing things of teaching Torah. You know, there's some beautiful stories about people that were involved in freeing Russian Jewry and those that went to Russia. But Grummet said that, I believe the story is true. I didn't confirm it's him. I met him when I was in high school. But if you know it's not true, please don't tell me, because it's a fantastic story. I don't want it to be ruined. So the story goes like this. He was teaching like in an underground place in Russia, scared of the KGB, what was going to happen. And he was teaching Torah with them. And at the end of the Torah class, one of the people said, okay, we have to just do our final thing. And he looked at the window, make sure no one else was watching. And he took from behind, I think, a bunch of sfarim, he pulled out a canister, like a little thing with some clear liquid. And every person would take a little bit of liquid and put it on their tongue. Now, many of you are very, very holy and very righteous. That happens to be one of the ways that you take acid. It's one of the ways that you can, like, intense narcotics. It's one of the ways that you would take it, I believe, no?
I don't know where you went in high school.
Yeah. the late night panel we'll have. But there's a so Rabbi Grumman, they pass around. Suddenly it's like his choice. It's his, up to him. He's like, it's not my style, you know. Like I'm a rabbi, not really what I do. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, drug usage is just, it's not what I do. He's like, it's not what it is. We smuggled in a small bottle of water from Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of every single time we sit and learn, we want to have a little bit of a taste of what Eretz Yisrael is, a little bit of a practical, real connection to Eretz Yisrael. Our connection to Eretz Yisrael is real and it's permanent, is there forever, and that's what we strive for in marriages, and that's why we learn Dafka, marriage from the world of Eretz Yisrael. It's a permanent kenyan, one which is there forever. That is idea number one. There is an additional idea. It's a really, really, I think, interesting one. I'm going to end in about 10 or 11 minutes, I think. We could spend a long time on this. I want to try to introduce it in the following way. Okay. There are, please pay attention, because this is really, really important. It's important to understand a Mishnah I referenced before. It's a really important idea to understand a lot of things that take place. There are two kinds, oversimplifications right now, you'll forgive me. There are two kinds of kinyan. There are two kinds of acquisitions that are made. 90% of the time, when we speak about a kinyan, we speak about what is called in halacha a kinyan mamon. We speak about a monetary kinyan. What's a monetary kinyan? When I went to a store today, and I purchased early this morning, I went to a bakery this morning, and I went to that bakery and I bought a couple rolls or whatever else I happened to buy. So at that moment, I acquired the rolls. I bought it. It's mine. I could sell it. I have a lot of control about what I can do with it. Assuming it's good with halacha, it's a monetary acquisition. That's a kind of kinyan that we often speak about. There is another kind of kinyan. This is less well known. This is developed by a variety of achronim. It's found, it's kimat mefurash in many rishonim, what's called in halacha sometimes a kinyan iser. What's a kinyan iser? I can acquire something, or be more precise, I can do an act of acquisition that establishes a halachic relationship. It's a relationship. You're not buying something and then you can't, and selling it. You're not buying it and you control it. Kinyan sometimes means you're establishing a relationship. You're establishing a connection. And Wagner's Rebbe and mine, Rosenzweig in YU, often points this out. There's different kinds of kinyanim. There's a kinyan which is about relationship. Ha'isha niknes. A woman is acquired in different ways under a chuppah. So this is not a fancy point. That kinyan is not a monetary kinyan. My wife and I are married. I don't have monetary rights in my wife. It doesn't work that way. There may be certain zechuyos which come in different directions. There's not a monetary kinyan that was done. It'd be ridiculous to assume so. It shares none of the properties of monetary. You know what that kinyan is? Under a chuppah, it's called a kinyan iser. It means that we establish a halachic relationship. We establish a relationship that is religious. We establish a relationship which is powerful. It's a relationship with halachic implications, but it's a deep relationship which is present. What is the nature of our kinyan over Eretz Yisrael? What is the nature of our ownership over Eretz Yisrael? So Salvechik once suggests to explain the sheet of the Raivin. Others do to explain a lot of Gemara's and Masechet Bava Basra. Please listen up. It is a simple idea. It is an important idea. It is one that I'm sure many of us probably could intuit. When we got the right to be in the land of Israel, we came in with Yehoshua, and now we're in Eretz Yisrael. We come back now, and now we're in Eretz Yisrael. What is the nature of our ownership over Eretz Yisrael? What is the nature of that particular kinyan? I submit to you, and there's a lot of halachic evidence that we're not going to speak about tonight at all, that a lot of that kinyan is not monetary alone. I don't own the ground, and I can do with it whatever I want. There are massive limitations even what I can do with that ground. There's Trumos and Maestros, there's Bikurim, there's Chala, a lot of things that impact it. You know what my relationship with Eretz Yisrael is? It's a Kinyan Iser. It means that we have a deep, real, halachic relationship. Not that I'm in control of it. Not that I dominate it. It means that we have a real,
relationship that's established. That's why even the ways that we acquire Eretz Yisrael are through these like almost like funky or like wild kinds of ways. We do it through a goral, through a lottery. Maybe the Urim V'Tumim are involved. We're not buying land in Eretz Yisrael. There are halachic relationships which are present. It is the way to say it. You can own parts in Chutz La'aretz, but we are meant to be religiously and halachically in Eretz Yisrael. That is our natural state of existence. The Maharal, beginning Netzach Yisrael, think about that at length. That our relationship to Eretz Yisrael is not. If we're out of Eretz Yisrael, we are not where we are meant to be. When we are in Eretz Yisrael, that's our natural place. That's our natural place. We become complete. We become one when we are in the land of Israel. I would suggest the Shem Yishmua has a similar kind of an insight. That is part of the reason why marriage is learned from Eretz Yisrael and the connection between them. There are two ways of non-classic acquisitions. They're not monetary. No one's buying anything in a classic sense. They are deep relationships of connection. They're deep relationships which manifest themselves in 100 different ways that comes with both of them have Kedusha. There's Kedusha in a marriage. There's Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. There's holiness present. It's not just monetary. It's significantly more. It's significantly more than that. Why do we learn marriage from Eretz Yisrael? Because it's permanent and because it's not monetary. It's so wrong to look at Eretz Yisrael as just a place that we happen to own land in. If that's okay, so Uganda's fine also. That's okay, so everything else is fine. What we have here is something much deeper. The beautiful views that you have from this base medrash even. You're looking at, you know, Hare Yerushalayim. You're looking at a place where you have real, serious, deep spiritual connections to this particular location. My brother referenced my father's practices about Eretz Yisrael. One of the most, this is going to be a weird one, if that's okay. Holy people do weird things sometimes. One thing my father would do, there are two kinds of grape juice in this world. There is what we would call Kedem grape juice, what most of us would call grape juice that tastes fine. Then there is the Eretz Yisrael grape juice. The Israel grape juice is, sometimes you drink it, you're not sure, is it like from concentrate, you're supposed to add water to it, or does it come like that? Like not always really the way it's supposed to go. So most normal people, I think, I don't judge any of your families, but in Eretz Yisrael, in America, if they have grape juice, they have Kedem in America. And when they're in Israel, they try to get Kedem when they're here because it's a wonderful thing. My father would only have, even in America, my father would only have the grape juice from Eretz Yisrael. That wine should only be from Eretz Yisrael. That it should all come from there. I believe, I think that my brother got engaged to Neely. I think that Neely likes Kedem. My father stopped for that period of time to have Kedem at the table also, because the only thing that was a greater value than Israeli grape juice was that my sister-in-law should feel comfortable at the table. You know, and things like that. Yeah, that was a good reaction. I like the girls feel good. They act appropriately. No, they like grunt at those moments, you know? There's a many of them will become more functional by the time. Okay. There's something about the connection, things like that, you know, like the grape juice. No one does that for monetary acquisitions. No one does things like that. It's only a kinyan mamon, and no one does that for kinyan that are fleeting, that are short term. You know when people do that? You know when they take little bottles out of behind this farm shelf and put a little bit of a taste on their tongue? You know when people come along and they want to have a taste of the peiros, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael? You know when they want to have that? When and only when the kinyan is permanent. When and only when the kinyan is not monetary at all. It is deep, it is real, it is long-lasting, and it is powerful. It's exactly what it's supposed to be. But Ezra Shem, we're going to be celebrating over the next month or so, a bunch of different days that recognize our connection to Eretz Yisrael. It's already in the first Rashi. People are going to question sometimes our rights to Eretz Yisrael. People are going to question sometimes our rights to Eretz Yisrael, even to those places that Chazal tells we should have been so confident, no one would ever question. It's like ridiculous. It's important, I think Rav Moshe Charlap in the Maimarom once suggested,
that the arguments found in the Medrash and the arguments found in Rashi are there to give us increased confidence. They help strengthen our argument, that we have to know that this is our place. This is our place. We're meant to be here. It's the right place to be. And to be here in a year like this year, to be here in a year in which we are, again, there are great reasons to be in Chutzlaretz also. I'm not taking sides on that. But to be here in a year like this year, where there's so much fighting and Mesiras Nefesh over our schus to be in Eretz Yisrael, what a special, special thing. The Ribono Shel Olam should bless all of us, that our connection to Eretz Yisrael should be permanent, our connection to Eretz Yisrael should be more than just monetary, and really the Ribono Shel Olam can bless us to have shalom over all of Eretz Yisrael, where even the Ummos HaOlam are all willing to come along and agree, this belongs to us, it is all ours. And Be'ezhem, that day soon, with the Geula Amitish, should come. Have a wonderful rest of your night.